Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Get ready for the fastest and flattest road race of your life, the 14th Annual Viking Half Marathon 10K and 5K in Greenwood, Mississippi. Set for Saturday, March the 22nd. Sign up now at vikinghalfmarathon.com or 662-453-4152.
Paid for by Greenwood Convention and Visitor Bureau, Chamber of Commerce.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up? Welcome in on this Sunday night for the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me. It is raining and cold outside, so hopefully you guys are staying warm and staying dry, because we just had a crappy day here in central Mississippi. It just rained all day long. So hopefully you guys at least enjoyed your Sunday, and I'm glad that you're here to talk Ole Miss sports with me. A couple things that we're going to do tonight. Obviously, basketball blew an opportunity. Climbed all the way back, dug themselves a big hole, climbed all the way back in the second half, took a lead, and then just could not execute offense in the second half, especially in the second half of the second half, which should be the fourth quarter if men's college basketball just got on the same page as literally every other level of basketball. But just a blown opportunity to get a quad one road win. Still in good shape, but there are a lot of concerns about this team's ability to get back and play their best basketball going into the tournament. Also, baseball swept on the weekend. It is Eastern Kentucky. Very, very little to take away from a series with Eastern Kentucky, but they did have a series and they did sweep it, so we'll talk about that as well. And read your comments on this edition of the show. Going to be a bit of a shorter one tonight, so we'll get through it quickly. I invite you to please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed if you're watching or listening on YouTube, whether it be right here or over on Super Talk's YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. Again, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere. For personal injury, if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up tomorrow. Call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. Or if you're a small business owner and you've come up against some kind of legal issue, or you want to start a small business and you don't know how to cross your T's and dot your I's, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. Don't delay another second. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm will take care of you for all of your personal injury and small business needs. Ole Miss loses 77-72 to Vanderbilt. Malik Dio led the Rebels in scoring. He was very good in this game. One of my complaints about him in this game is they did not force the issue with him and allow him to get more than his 12 shots up. He was 8 of 12, 2 of 4 from 3, had 7 rebounds and a pair of blocks, so 22 points on the game. Sean Padula had 21. He was 7 of 14 from the field, made 3 of his 8 threes, also had 6 rebounds and 4 assists, but 5 turnovers. 4 of them were especially egregious in the second half and were really poorly timed in that moment, but still had 21 points. The only other Rebel in double figures was Jalen Murray, but he was 4 of 13 from the field, including 2 of 8 from 3. Dre Davis had 9, not his best game, but he only got up 7 shots. He was 2 of 7 from the field. You got 8 from Jamin Brightfield. He only got 6 shots up. He was 3 of 6 from the field and missed both of his 3-point shots. Matt Morrell, that injury is now in big-time concern level. I think only 2 second-half minutes for Matt Morrell, only 12 in the game. So that is a big, big issue for Ole Miss. He's been battling this injury basically all year, at least it feels like all year, and he's battled through it valiantly, but unable to stay on the floor. Very curious what a possible update to that injury could be as they're about to go take on Auburn in the midweek this week. So Ole Miss loses, and old habits showed up. One, their slow start got off to a really, really slow start. We're down 19 points at one point in the first half. Missed their first 10 three-point shots, I believe, in the game. So got off to another slow start, which is something that plagued this team early in the season. But they have these scoring droughts, and we've talked about them before, and it happened again in this game. They take a lead with 7 minutes left, and they don't make another basket for 5 minutes, and they ultimately only lose by five despite that long scoring drought in the second half. That is something that they do so often, and I am certainly not a basketball coach. I do think that a lot of the fan frustration after the game was completely and totally justified, though, because a scoring drought that lasts that long and looked the way it did is not just as simple as, well, doesn't have the players. Matt Morrell's hurt. Just the players aren't good enough. Just wait till, you know, he gets his players. Now, I'm not going to be that guy. Chris Beard has done a great job at Ole Miss. I think he's done a great job with this team. And they're going to make the tournament. And in year two, that was the goal, right? I think they're going to win 9 or 10 games in the SEC. I do think they'll get a couple more. The program is on an upward trajectory. But I cannot watch what happened on Saturday and come here and tell you that everything was perfect with the exception of the quality of player. The ball sticks way too much at times with this team. There is very little ball movement at times and very little off-ball movement. And you've got these possessions, these wasted possessions, where it's just one guy that maybe tries an entry pass and he gets the ball back and kind of dribbles out the shot clock and forces a contested three at the end of a shot clock, and a lot of isolation ball. And in that five-minute stretch of not scoring, there was way too much isolation ball. And frankly, this team doesn't have enough players that are good enough to score that way. And so moving the ball and moving without the ball in manufacturing offense, I know that's like not a thing anymore in basketball, or at least that's what somebody told me yesterday. But I watch other teams manufacture offense with ball movement and off-ball movement, and far too often the ball sticks with Ole Miss. And you have empty possessions with very little movement or direction. And it's like after the possession's over, I say to myself, what were they trying to accomplish here? You know, what was the point of this? What was the goal out of this possession? Because it looks like they didn't really know what to do. And they do that all the time. They go through these long scoring droughts, and it's not just because of missed shots. And when Morrell's out, that obviously really hurts. When you're not getting much from Murray, Padula's turning it over, you know, where are the points going to come from? I understand that. I mean, it's not a perfect roster for sure, but they did a very poor job of manufacturing offense, and that is something that has plagued this team far too often. They get a lead, and it's like they were unable to find ways to either extend that lead or maintain that lead and execute and win this game. The opportunity was right in front of them, and they blew it. Does this loss cost them anything? Not really. I mean, they fell one spot in the net, I think. They're still absolutely a lock to make the tournament, according to Joe Lenardi. But the way they're playing right now is – it's a frustrating style of basketball to watch, quite honestly. Padula's got to be much better. And again, I know he scored 21 points. It feels – hard to criticize somebody that scored 21 points for this team, but man, he's got to be so much smarter with the basketball than he was in the second half of that game. And you can't have that from a veteran guard like him. You can't have those turnovers on those key possessions. I think they could have done a better job at forcing the issue to Dia. It was one of those games that he was on, and he was able to get to the basket, and they didn't do enough of that in that scoring drought. And so what happens from here? They've got a free shot this week, and they've got a game that they really need to win coming up this weekend with Oklahoma. This is still a good team. That they're deeply flawed. There's clearly some missed evaluations in there as well, especially with Brown Jones as somebody that they expected a lot more out of. Morrell's injuries hurting them, but they can be better than they've played lately, because we've seen them play better than they've played lately. Even their last couple of wins that they had to barely get by. I mean, got lucky against LSU and escaped Columbia with a win. And so it can be a good team that they can play better than this. It's just up to them to figure it out. That was a very disappointing performance, though, coming off of their off week and the opportunity to reset, and they couldn't take advantage otherwise. We'll talk baseball and then read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. ToyotaofBrookhaven.com is their website, but they are also located, obviously, in Brookhaven off of exit 40. $1,000 on me on any in-stock Toyota, in-stock new Toyota, $1,000 on me if you just tell them I sent you. It's all you got to do. Or if you're shopping online, use the code Toyota of Brookhaven. $1,000 on me, just say I sent you, or use code Rebel Report online. The car buying experience is frustrating. It's very frustrating. But the people at Toyota of Brookhaven will take care of you as if you're a person instead of just dollar signs. And as a result, you will have a much more comfortable car buying experience. When you leave the lot, you won't feel like somebody just got one over on you like I did when I shopped at a different dealership here in Mississippi. On new Tundras, they've got interest rates as low as 1.99%. They have a service department, so if you're in the area, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., you can get your car serviced there. Even if you didn't buy it from them, you can still get your car taken care of and serviced there. Toyota of Brookhaven will take care of you, I promise you. It is an actually enjoyable car buying experience because Toyota of Brookhaven's got great service and they will take care of you. Baseball gets a sweep over Eastern Kentucky. Again, very little to take away from a series like this. This is not a good team really at all that they saw this weekend. In fact, they are winless on the season. Ole Miss wins Friday 8-0. The story of that game is the same story as their opening game of the season. Hunter Elliott, very, very good yet again. Six complete, scattered just three hits and struck out 10. I know Eastern Kentucky's not good, but when he was able to do this to Arizona last week and turn around and do it again, Hunter Elliott looks just outstanding for Ole Miss. Mason Morris shut the door, three complete, just one hit, struck out three as well in those three innings. The pitching was the story on Friday. Seeing Hunter Elliott in this form is just awesome for Ole Miss. He will keep them in games every single Friday. It's just up to the bats to give them wins instead of just the opportunity for wins. More on that here in a little bit. So they won on Friday 8-0. Saturday, they win 9-4. Much better outing from Riley Maddox than last week. Five complete, scattered three hits, did walk two, but struck out five. And then to close it out, Walker Hooks, man. I am very excited to see that young pitcher in a weekend SEC role. He looks just absolutely electric, struck out all three batters that he faced in this game, and Ole Miss wins 9-4. And then finally, on Sunday, today, Ole Miss wins 9-3, rather comfortable win. Nichols was better. He only gave up one run and four complete, just three hits, struck out five. I am a little bit concerned, but they get the win and that's fine. Scattered around a bunch of hits. A lot of guys hit this weekend because it was an Eastern Kentucky team that doesn't present much, in terms of pitching, but I am concerned about two things. One, I still like starting pitching a lot. I like that a lot. I think that Luke Hill, I say I think as if it's not just abundantly clear that Luke Hill is having an excellent start to the season. He's got an OPS of 1.416, hitting .462 on the year. Really like starting pitching, though. They are much better in the field so far than they were a year ago as well. So those are some positives. I am concerned about the bullpen, specifically the depth of it. I mean, let's say they have a one-run lead in a rubber match on Sunday in a fifth inning. Who are they going to be able to roll out there? Right now, I would like to see more from – I know they tried – it looks like they tried to pitch a lot of guys this weekend, maybe a lot of them that they're not going to be too dependent on when it comes to SEC play. But I am curious about depth in the bullpen and the quality of said depth. We'll start. We'll find out. I mean, I guess in the Arkansas series, really, but Tuesday will be a nice test for this team. That's a really good Southern Miss team that just beat Mississippi State in the midweek and then took a series over to Louisiana Tech this weekend. So we'll get to hopefully see, especially a couple of the arms that did not pitch over the weekend that you think are going to be guys that you see during SEC play. So maybe they'll get an opportunity on Tuesday. Curious to see how that looks. But the bats, and I know they scored, what, 8, 9, and 9 runs or whatever it was this weekend. But I am concerned about hitting because it's cold. I understand that. Mostly empty stands, Eastern Kentucky, it's cold. I get why people are using that as like an excuse, but it's not like they were up there making solid contact and the ball's just not traveling because it's cold this weekend. I too often don't see enough quality at-bats out of this team. Among their everyday starters, there's only one guy, and there's only 5 like everyday starter on this team so far. Only 5 guys have played in all 7 games, but there's only one hitting over 300 at the moment, and that is Luke Hill. Utermark has a strikeout percentage that's way too high. I mean, 27 at-bats, struck out 10 of them. Mitch Stanford has 21 at-bats, has struck out 9 of them. So you've got high strikeout rates right now. Federico has to be an everyday player. I mean, he is I know he's young, and maybe he'll hit the freshman wall at some point, but I think he's got to be an everyday player. At this point, he's proven. His OPS is 1.49. So he needs to be in the lineup every day. But this team right now is striking out too much. A lot of uncompetitive at-bats so far, and 4 of their 7 games have been against Arkansas State and Eastern Kentucky. And the offense just does not look like something that will produce in the SEC yet. Maybe it could. You don't want to write the book on them just yet, but I think there is reason to be concerned at this moment of if they'll be able to produce enough offense to win enough games to make the tournament and get back on track as a program. We'll see. We'll see. Certainly could. Federico needs to be in the lineup every day. He looks great. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need or what your budget is, or they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, to your comments, we go. Say, well, Ole Miss is going to drop out of the top 25. Yes, they are. They're going to drop out of the top 25, and that's okay. They just need to win games. Their net is fine. Their tournament resume is fine. Tough week this week with Auburn at Auburn, especially possibly without Matt Morrell. I mean, that's the freest of free shots. They just got to come back Saturday and beat Oklahoma. It's an Oklahoma team that was reeling until State gave them one on Saturday as well to keep their tournament hopes alive. But anyway, say what you want about the missed charge on Padula, but you can't get down 19 and then get dormant with a lead and expect to win on the road. Yeah, two things. The old two things can be true at once. Awful call. Absolutely awful call. You can't screw that up in that spot if you're the officials. I cannot believe, and the broadcast could not believe that they screwed that one up. Absolutely awful call, and that's not why they lost. Bad start, which was, I mean, that was so disappointing to see them start like that after the week off, and then going dormant for 5 minutes in the second half. You're exactly right. However, that was a brutal call. Should have never happened in that spot, but that is not why. That's not what they lost the game. Could have been the difference, though. If they get that call, who knows? But How busy will the Sooner game be? Well, with baseball in town, you hope that the crowd is good and engaged. It should be, although I am a little concerned about what that crowd will look like if they get beat the way that the odds makers will say that they're supposed to get beat on Wednesday. But there are very few days where you get to do the old double up, and those are awesome days as a fan. I mean, take advantage, because it doesn't happen very often where you can go basketball, and then when basketball's over, walk on over to Swayze and see a baseball game. It's really hard to beat that. I mean, you get to Oxford, you have a few drinks and brunch, and then go to the basketball game, then go to the baseball game, and then I don't know, man. I think those are like banner days in Oxford. When I lived there, those were the best days. I liked those more than football Saturdays, the double up. And enjoy them. Enjoy it, because it should be fun. Oklahoma game has a little must-win feel to it. Yeah, because the wheels could just totally fall off the wagon. I mean, they're very likely to have three losses in a row going into that game. And, I mean, they'll still make the tournament. But when at that point, let's just play it out here. Let's pretend like they lose to Auburn and Oklahoma. So it's four losses in a row. Are they really going to beat Tennessee and Florida? I mean, you're looking at possibly five of six or six losses in a row going into the tournament. What was the rebounding differential? I'll tell you in just a second. The free throw discrepancy is something that Chris Beard talked about after the game. I know the officiating was poor, but it's always poor. Ole Miss could do a much better job at getting to the free throw line. Ole Miss shot 15 free throws to Vanderbilt's 29, and Vanderbilt out-rebounded Ole Miss by 7. Do you feel better? Yeah, but the whatever the heck is going around, I mean, it destroyed me. The what do they call it? The post-viral something where like your body has to recover from having a virus. I have never felt like that in my life. Like, I've been sick in the past. I've been really sick in the past. It took me days to recover, like to get hydrated and rested again. Like, physically holding my arms up, like, was hard to do for days after I got sick. It was bizarre. It's truly bizarre. Whatever's going around, man, is brutal. Thea showed up, but again, the sticky possessions and lack of urgency at the rim has been a plague for this team. Absolutely. Playing two point guards all the time kills them on defense. But the thing is, see, it wasn't defense. They had a 5-minute scoring drought in the second half. They were getting stops. They just couldn't put the ball in the basket. Baseball started a little slow Friday, but overall looks pretty encouraging. Big early test on Tuesday was Southern Miss. Yes, Southern Miss is a very good baseball team. They lost the third game, too, so they had an opportunity to sweep today. And they pitch it really well. I mean, you know what you're going to get from Southern Miss baseball. They are the same Southern Miss team that they've always been. They're going to pitch it well. They're going to be scrappy. They got a bunch of Mississippi kids. That's a good test. And if Ole Miss wins that game on Tuesday night, we'll be talking about how good of a midweek win that is, because that's a good Southern Miss team. I won't waffle on that. If they get a win Tuesday, I know it's just a midweek game, but that'll be a good win. It's a good team. Do I think Beard will go to Indiana? I don't think that the job will be offered to him. Is Keith going to get out ahead of the Beard to Indiana talks? Not until it becomes serious. Right now, there's nothing to get out ahead of. You don't want to pull a Ross Bjork and give contracts when nobody is competing for your coach. There's nothing at the moment to get out ahead of. And frankly, I'm of the opinion that there's really not much that he can do. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. I know that they have stepped up in so many ways, that the fans have stepped up in the NIL game in so many ways in basketball, and the salary number's huge, and you guys are buying into basketball. So even if that does materialize, which I don't think it will, you are elevating your program by the way that you – that this is a weird way to put it, but the way you are acting as fans and then your administration is acting about basketball, you're elevating your program regardless of what happens with this Indiana thing. But it doesn't sound like right now anything is looking that way. And they keep starting games by getting the teeth kicked in the last 5 minutes of games too. I would love to know why they start so poorly. What is it? Are they not are they easy to game plan against before they make adjustments? Are they not like mentally locked in? I don't know. Beard to Indiana things getting your attention more, especially after Rick Pitino commented on it. I have a feeling I know where that came from, and I think all of you do too. But Federico should always be in the lineup. He's batting 615. Yeah, and the thing is, it's not even about his batting average. It's how competitive his at-bats always seem to be. You know what I mean? Let's see. Hadn't struck out yet in 13 at-bats. I mean, he is just a very competitive hitter. He doesn't look like a freshman. How about that ref just blatantly stopping the game and staring at Mark Pope in the Bama Kentucky game? They're so bad. It's so bad. Ole Miss will be a 9 seed in March Madness. They're ahead of that at the moment. They are ahead of that at the moment, but got to start playing better for that to change. Wonder if the mood of the season's going into the tournament if they limp to 9-9. Wonder what the mood of this season going into the tournament will be if they limp to 9-9. Yeah, but all it takes, right, is the right matchup in the first round of the tournament. You know, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Depressing seeing the season end like this. It's not over yet. They've still got time. Someone is going to get Will Wade soon. Just saying, this cycle, he will not be at McNeese after this cycle. There's no way. It's absolutely no way. Brown Jones has been nothing short of a disaster. Just a missed evaluation for sure. Part of me wonders if there's more going on. Ole Miss is a overrated basketball team, you say. But, in what context? Overrated how? They're nets in the 20s, and that's probably about right. I mean, they're playing in the most difficult league in America. And the hardest that the SEC has ever been. And they're 8-6 in league play. I think that they are very appropriately rated right now. That they have flaws, and they're right now they're doing things poorly, but they are playing in the most difficult the SEC has ever been. And with they're with 4 games remaining, they're above 500 in league play. That's very good. There's no other way to say, like, that's good. I think people get caught up in when they watch really only their team and they see like how bad their team looks. They think that everybody else is good and they're only their team looks like that. Everybody in college, not everybody, most people in college basketball look like Ole Miss does or worse. It's not the NBA. The NBA, despite it being a terrible product right now, is still filled with really skilled players that make shots, and they're long and they score and they run, and like college basketball doesn't look like that. It all looks ugly. Ole Miss right now, it looks bad because I think you're only watching them. The way they played against Kentucky needs to come back. That was so much fun. It also helps that Kentucky has a defense optional approach to things. But the overall season is still a big success. Absolutely. Especially if they can find a way to get a couple wins down the stretch here. If they can protect home floor. They have way too many weak foul calls. They didn't play smart basketball in the second half of that game. Which team is the worst team in college basketball? Let's see. I would assume it's Mississippi Valley is who I would expect that to be. Let's scroll all the way down. Mississippi Valley is the worst team in college basketball. Although they do have a win. They are 1-24. Maryland Eastern Shore is 0-21 on the season. Pine Bluff is 3-22. That's your bottom three. Coppin State, the Citadel, all the way down at 1-22 this season. That's brutal. Yeah. That's who's the worst team in college basketball. I know it's off topic, but you really enjoyed the U.S.-Canada All-Star Game. It reminded you of why you used to love watching Tupelo T-Rex hockey games back in the day. I loved it, too, the entire tournament. That was an outstanding decision by the NHL, and they're going to continue that, and it'll be great. And the more people noticed how much fun meaningful hockey is. And sports fans are just looking for compelling content right now. The access to sports is its biggest failure. The NBA is hard to – you can't find your local NBA teams. If you want to watch the MLS, you have to have Apple TV. Like, it's exclusively on Apple TV. It's hard to find – baseball is about to start. It's hard to find your Major League Baseball team. You got to, like, buy an app or whatever. It's – the access to sports is simply short-sighted on all of these leagues' part and the deals that they have signed. Hockey makes up a tournament, throws it on ESPN, a channel that basically everybody has, and boom, look at what you have. What did I think of the ending of BYU-Arizona? I did not watch the end of that game, so I have no idea. I do know that BYU is helping Ole Miss. That's a good resume win. When will Ole Miss fans realize basketball is fun and important? I think they are right now. It's you can't just snap your fingers and have an entire fan base buy into a sport that has really done almost nothing but let them down in its entire existence. I mean, Ole Miss basketball has what? 9 NCAA tournament appearances. It's a program that has not been there. They haven't been competitive. I mean, yeah, Kermit made the tournament once, and they lost. So they never won a tournament game, lost the first one, and then were a disaster after that. They have no real history to speak of. There's, you know, a few decades ago, there's many runs in there of good play, but otherwise, it's a program that has not given fans reason to be totally bought in, and it takes time for those habits to develop among your fan base, for them to realize that not only is this basketball program, this version of it, worth following and watching, but attending and supporting. And frankly, I think all things considered, you guys have created really good environments and you're supporting your team and you care about it. And you're not even done with year two of competency with your coach. I think that it just takes a little bit of time and that's all it takes. But I'm seeing positive momentum among the fan base and the way that they view basketball. So watching MLB baseball is dang near impossible. See, that's the problem. And that's why the hockey thing was everybody just grabbed onto it because they could actually watch it, you know? I mean, the Pelicans are accessible. They're one of the more accessible teams in the NBA. How do you watch them? If you live in Jackson, how do you watch them? You can't just turn on your TV and boom, there they are. Can't do it. So how do you watch them? How do you watch the Grizzlies? For those of you North Mississippi, how do you watch the Grizzlies? How? Play 82 games. How do you watch them? You can't. The Braves are about to start. How do you watch the Braves? How do you watch the Predators? How do you watch Nashville SC? These leagues chased dollars in the immediate without thinking of the long-term implications of not being easy to find. And it sucks. That's why football is doing great, because it's easy to find. The NFL is easy to find. I think that a lot of the football ratings boom is in part because it's accessible. It's easy. It's right there for you. You don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to buy all these apps. You don't have to get an HD antenna. You just turn on your TV and boom, there it is. I think that that's a major factor in this and why the ratings are up and everything else is down, because nobody can find everything else. Marshall Henderson was Ole Miss basketball to you before Beard. He was fun. He was most definitely fun. I think some of the irritation with the season is how it started so hot, then the A&M game was a stunner loss. Yeah, that certainly hurt. That definitely hurt. Reds, Braves, Cardinals, and Cubs are all blacked out where you live. Yeah, and even if they weren't, you'd have to pay $20 a month to watch them. Just them. You're at the game, and you got to say the Rebs lacked energy from the beginning, seem to be playing in second gear. Talent is there, just something isn't right. They start games like that. It's very odd. Only get Grizzlies games when they're on ESPN. And that's only a few times a year. That's why, even though I think the SEC television deal, in hindsight, could have been better than it is, one thing that they got right is how accessible all of your sports are. If you have a cable package, you can watch every sport, basically, not rifle. But you can watch all of your football games, obviously, all of your basketball games, and all of your baseball and all of your softball games on the same app that you don't have to pay extra for. It's all right there. It's very easy to find. That is a very good thing. It is a very good thing that they got right. But the pro sports leagues are going to lose fans and attention because they're not accessible. The hockey thing was sports fans sending a message. And of course, there's the patriotism angle. There's the geopolitical angle. I do think, generally speaking, it's people are far more patriotic than they were 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's cool to love America again, in part, anyway. And I think the World Cup next summer is really going to show you that. I think the USA fever around the World Cup next summer is going to be huge. And I'm really looking forward to that. I love when everybody buys into soccer, because I watch all their games. And I really would love our soccer team to have more support, not every 4 years, all the time. So they have a real opportunity next summer to build that. But it's also, so the geopolitical stuff is real, no denying that. But it was also compelling and available. So people watched it. Nothing else going on. TGL, the golf league, is doing 800,000 people. It's a bunch of pros playing on a simulator on a Monday night. You get 800,000 people watching. Why? Because it's accessible. It's right there for you. And they're competitive. Sports fans are sending a message. You got to come to us. We're not coming to you. But if you do come to us, we will consume it. It's that simple. Anyway, I got to run, guys. You're the best. Thank you so much. We'll be back on Tuesday after the Southern Miss game. And looking forward to talking about that with you guys then. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.